The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We have 3 points to a sermon, sometimes two, sometimes maybe four or five. But I just got 1 point done last week. So I'm going to try to finish what I didn't finish last week, this week. And we're in our series about the book of Revelation, the end, the Revelation, the end. It is for our theme verse that we're using for the entire series. John the Revelator was told by an angel these words. Chapter 1, verse 19. Write, therefore, what you have seen, that's the past, what is now, which is the present, and what will take place later. For some reason, that's a little faded out. I don't know why. So, the book of Revelation is about things that are the past, the present, and the future, okay? So, and you got to keep that thought in mind, because especially today, because I'll be talking about some of those things. We've covered a lot of territory in the last 7 weeks. We spoke about Babylon and its judgment, which is the world system. We talked about why you don't want to miss the last wedding. Everybody loves a wedding. The last wedding is the Lamb and the Bride. We talked about the resurrection, the millennial, which is the millennial reign, and we talked about the final judgment. Took 2 weeks to talk about that. Spoke about why we have no fear of Satan, the lawless one. He has no rule and no authority over us other than what we give him. We talked about last week, what is the transition from here, the present, to the future, from here to eternity, all right? So we're going to talk a little bit. Let me just real quickly recap what we spoke about last week. This is part two, your future home in eternity. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Remember I told you sea was a metaphor or a word that is used in the scriptures to describe humanity. All right, when you see that, most of the time in the scriptures, the word sea is describing humanity. So I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. Interesting, a holy city, which is the new Jerusalem, which is a bride prepared for a husband. So you can see the imagery here. Now, last week, we hit the first point. What is the transition from here to eternity? The transition is from God with us to a new reality. Remember when Mary and the angel came to visit her? And the angel said, you will call his name Jesus, and he will be known as Emmanuel, God with us. Because that's exactly what happened. It was the incarnate Christ. It was God in human flesh came to earth, okay? So that's what that was all about. So God with us, a new reality. Chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people. So he's talking about the present. It was present then when John wrote this, and it's still a present today. God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So God is, when you become a believer, God takes up residence within us. It says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So that's a reality that takes place today. It's got a future application, but it's really happening right now. He will wipe away every tear. Now, normally when you see that, you have to say, oh, boy, I can't wait for the millennium to get here. We won't cry anymore. Well, God's taking away our salty tears of hopelessness and giving us tears of joy and tears of hope, all right? Even though we cry, we lose a loved one, we cry about that. But we don't cry as those that have no hope, because we know there's an eternal hope. All right? And wipe away every tear from your eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. So, for a believer, I know this is hard for you to believe, but I'm going to tell you, you got to believe it because it's true. You will never die. You cannot die. We might be able to plant your physical body, but you go on for all eternity because you have eternal life. You have God's life residing within you. You can't die. I know that's a crazy idea to even conceptualize, but in Christ, you can never die. So there'll be no more death for us. And as I told you last week, if you die before I do, and I get to do your funeral, and I do great funerals, by the way, that's one of my specialties, all right? And why I like it, because nobody ever complains. Nobody ever comes and says, oh, you did a horrible job of burying my husband, my wife, my, you know what? Then nobody ever tells me that. I always say, you did such a good job, Pastor. We love you. Thank you for being here. I say, yeah, that's right. I did a good job. He said, I'm just being funny. All right. But I won't mourn over you. I feel bad because I love you and care about you, but I won't mourn over you as those who have no hope, because I know that you leave this place, you'll be safe in Father's house. Paul said, for me to die is gain, to live is Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, okay? So that's why there's no mourning for us. And crying is that hopeless crying or the pain of hopelessness. For the old order of things has passed away. Jesus brought in a new order of things, didn't he? We have the new covenant. The old covenant passed away. We have a new covenant. In Christ, old things pass away. All things become new. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This is very important. Where is Jesus right now? He is on the throne. He's in heaven. His bodily left this place. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that in just a minute. And he's making everything new. So we're in a new covenant, a new way of doing things. So we spoke about that last week. Now, let's see if I got anything I want to pick up on now. Just from last week, and this is important. Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away. Well, the guys who were with him didn't believe that. I mean, Peter said, well, no, where are you going? I don't want you to leave. This is going to be bad. I mean, they wanted to be with him. They didn't want him to leave. But when he was only one man, Jesus in his bodily flesh that he had, how many places could he be at one time? Just one. If he was at your house praying for you, he couldn't be at his house praying for him. He could, he could speak words of faith sometimes. Remember, he spoke a word of faith to somebody's servant, a Roman soldier's servant, and he was healed, okay? So he had that ability, but by and large, you could only do one thing at a time, just like you and I. Some of you can't even do one thing at a time, but you do half a thing at a time, But basically, we do one thing at a time. But when he left, he said, it's going to be better. So when he left, what happened? The Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit took up residence within each one of the disciples. And that because they were believers, he comes into us. So how many things can the Holy Spirit of Christ do today? You can't even count it, could you? Multiplicities of things around the world. Things are happening all over the world. Janine's praying for somebody at her workplace. I wasn't there. You wasn't there. Jesus, the physical manifestation of Jesus in his resurrected body, wasn't there, but the Holy Spirit was there. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because he is everywhere, all the time, working. That's why the world changed. It said that when the Holy Spirit came, he turned the whole world upside down. He really turned it upside right, because he could do so much more. So when the devil thought he got rid of Jesus and figured that ended it all he did was, this is a poor illustration, but it's like you ever stir up an ant's nest? You see one or two ants. You stir up that ant's nest, there's billions of those things come out. And that's what happened. He thought he was getting rid of one ant. Found out there's a whole bunch of fiery ants to give him a sting when he needs it. Okay, so that's what took place. So that was all last week. And now we're going into point two, what I didn't talk about last week. And I told you this was going to be good. And I wouldn't lie to you. What is a transition from here to eternity? So we're making that transition from here to eternity, into eternity. The transition is from the beginning and end. Jesus said, I'm the beginning and end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. So we're going from the beginning and the end to a new relationship. Something new that hadn't existed before. Well, it really began with Jesus. Now remember the key word here, it's a transition. Things are we're in transit, so to speak. Revelation 21, verses 6 and 7. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Is that true today? Sure it is. You know, we go to the well of living water. Remember Jesus met the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well, and she said, do you want me to get you a drink of water? And he said, if you drink that water, you'll thirst again, but I will give you water, and you will never thirst again. There will be springs of living water that will flow out of us. That is the refreshing of the Holy Spirit that each of us give. We refresh the world. Janine, I hate to keep using you for an illustration, but it's a great story you told this morning. You were a spring of refreshing. Someone needed a drink. They were thirsty. They had a problem. So we do that. We bring those wells of living water to people. And God, he is our God, and we are what? The children of God. We talk about that all the time. And remember Jesus said, he brought a new concept. He said, we will call him Father. He said, teach us to pray. He said, okay, pray this way. Our Father. Nobody thought of him that way. The only father those guys thought about was Father Abraham. That was the old covenant. The old way, Father Abraham, that covenant. A new covenant, our Father, speaking of God, in that intimate relationship that nobody had seen before. Now, in verse 9 of chapter 21, boy, this is good. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, hold on there a minute. Remember I told you that numbers have meaning? Number seven is a completion of something. It's the fullest. He wrote seven letters to seven churches. What he was saying using the number seven, although there actually were seven churches because he named them, he was saying this is for all churches for all times. Now, this angel who was previously involved with the plagues that on the earth had a new mission now. Under New Covenant, they got a new mission. It's not a mission of judgment, but it's a mission of come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. See, he's got a new job. Things are different. And that transition, the angels are doing things different. They're not warring angels. Remember Michael the archangel showed up for Daniel, and Daniel said, where you been? He said, man, when you prayed 21 days, I was trying to get here. I had to fight my way to get here. There was a big war going on. But Jesus defeated Satan. He defeated all of those demonic forces. And he gave us the keys to the kingdom to bind them. I'm going to tell you, you'll think differently when you begin to perceive this way. We have the power to stop Satan in his tracks. Remember the disciples went out, and then when they came back, the 40, when Jesus sent the 40, and they came back, they said, wow, even the demons obeyed us. Why? We have power to do that. The weapons of our warfare are not cardinal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and everything that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God. That's what Satan's always done, lifted himself up. told Adam and Eve, well, would you like to be like God? Just eat of the fruit that you were told, because then you'll be like God. Always lifting himself up. The church, believers, come on now. I know you think of yourself kind of a little weakly church, you know. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Oh, what a worm am I? You're not a worm, you know. You're a born-again, powerful person in the kingdom of God, and you have great authority, but you got to use it, you know. And this is a poor illustration, but the United States doesn't send men into battle without weapons. We give, well, that's not always true, because George Thurman, when he was in Vietnam, they wouldn't even give him a gun. That's pretty smart. I know George. I don't know that I'd give him a gun either. No, they wouldn't let you load it. That's what it was. You know? But we have power and might, and we can do things. Don't let the devil run roughshod over your life. Chain him up. Bind him in the name of Jesus and hinder him in your life and in the circumstances of your life. When you say, well, what if I do it and he doesn't stop? Well, just get some more chains. You know, get some other people to agree with you. When two or more agree on anything that's touching, whatsoever they ask in the name of Jesus, it'll be done. Sometimes you got to get some help, you know. Sometimes you need to, but that's what the church is all about, helping each other. All right. You see why it takes me so long to get through anything? Because I just keep thinking of all this stuff. I'm so fired up about this. He said, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. What a difference. I mean, it's a guy who's been a warrior. Now he says, man, I'm going to show you the bride. Who's the bride? You are. Just look in the mirror. We are the bride of Christ. We are the wife of the Lamb. Woo, hallelujah. Okay, so we have experienced the kingdom now. We are in the kingdom now. John the Baptizer said it. Jesus said it. Paul said it. It's all over the New Testament. The kingdom of God is here. We're not waiting for something to happen. It's already happened. That's what's wrong with having this millennial idea that it's something in the future, because it's already happened now. And we've been living as people looking for a meal at the table, and the meal has already been served. In the book of Psalms, chapter 23, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's already done that for us now. See, so he's already enabled us now. So we're in the kingdom. We have the authority of the kingdom. We have the power in the kingdom. And we can rule and reign with him now, not in some future date, but now. So Jesus started it all. He said, I am the Alpha, which is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. I am the Alpha and the Omega, which is the last letter in the alphabet. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. So he started it, and he's going to finish the whole job, okay? So we exist, you and I. This is, you ready for this? We live between the beginning and the end. We're in that stage. Whatever Jesus started, we're in it right now, and we'll be in it till it ends. Has it completely ended? No. Has it started? Yes. Is it in progress? Yes. Write those things which were, which are, and which will be. You get that? Yeah. All right? So we're in that dynamic. We're in that new system, that new reality, if you will. So what we do is we look back at what Jesus did at the cross. We have a cross up here. We do that. I mean, why? Because we want to remember that. Because without the cross, we got nothing. So without Jesus' sacrifice, we don't have a thing. So we look back to the cross. And we look back a little further than that. We look back to the cradle, don't we? We remember it just to go, can you believe December's almost here? It's scary. You know, Christmas is almost here. We'll be, you know, singing the songs about the little baby Jesus and on our little mural on the wall, Jesus will show up again in Jerusalem. Somebody will put him up there with super glue or something. So he'll be up on the wall, and we'll remember that. That's good. We remember that. That's fine. And we remember Jesus on the cross, which is fine. But if that's all we remember, that's just the beginning. We have to look forward to the end, knowing that there is more to come, but we got to enjoy the present. We are in, you know where you are? Some of you, you're in church, okay? All right. You're in church. It's a New Beginning Church, or some of you don't. You know, but you know where you are? You are in the middle of the greatest event in all of known history. We are in the middle of the greatest time men have ever known. Before Jesus, and the period before that, they didn't know what you know. They didn't have what you have. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about those who suffered so much in the chapter 11, the faith chapter. It said they were sawed in two. They were beaten. They were fed to lions. They did all that stuff. And he said the world wasn't worthy of them for what they wanted. But you know what you miss sometimes? Go read it. And it says, but they didn't have what we have. Uh-huh. So we have something they didn't have. We have this new relationship, this new dynamic, this new place where nobody ever lived before. And we're living and ruling and reigning as children of God, princesses and princes, kings and queens in the kingdom of God. That's who we are today. You don't have to wait for that to happen. We live in that reality right now. So we look to the future. We remember the past. Got that? Everybody with me? We're currently living a victorious life. We should be. Well, Brother Morris, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, I do. We all go through stuff. Can you imagine this? Let's say you're instantaneously young and strong again. Some folks here are instantaneously, they're already young and strong. But for the rest of us, you know, a miracle happens in your son. And Uncle Sam says, I want you to go into battle. And we can have women go into battle now. Dumbest thing I've ever heard of, but we can let you go. And, you know, we're going to give you guns, and we're gonna put you in the midst of the battle. But you say, oh, I'm waiting for the reinforcements to come in. I'm not going into that town. I'm just going to wait here till somebody else shows up and does something. You know what your commander would do? Put a gun on your back and say, march. You know, get going. It's time to fight. Not time to be waiting for something else to happen. And I think what we do in the kingdom is we're waiting for something to happen instead of doing what we can do now. We are trained, equipped, empowered by God to live a victorious life now. Would somebody say amen? Amen. Now, not tomorrow, but now. We've been living in churches. We've been living in Tomorrowland. We took it to Disney World or something. You know, we live and have our being today. We're thirsty, and we do get thirsty for spiritual things, and we need things. And we can go to the well of living water and we can have our thirst quenched. You ever been thirsty for Jesus? Have you ever been like the deer spoken of in the book of Psalms? It said that he pants after the Lord like a deer pants after the water brook. Have you ever been thirsty for God? Have you ever decided you don't want to have any more of this crazy religious rhetoric? But you want to have the person of Jesus Christ and you thirst for that deep down inside. You want it just like you thirst for water, as if you were walking in a parched desert and you want that. I'm telling you that it's here now, that the Holy Spirit will quench your thirst for him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom, that's what we're talking about, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the thing that quenches your thirst, will be added to you now. Not tomorrow, now. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of victory. Today is the day that we start believing. Well, you say, well, you know, I've been praying and nothing's been happening. Well, I'm going to repeat myself, but keep praying and get some help praying. Don't throw in the towel. Don't commit spiritual suicide. Say, well, I've had enough of that. It isn't working. You know, sometimes the greatest victories come right in the heat of the biggest defeat you've ever had. In the time of your biggest defeat, the greatest victory will come in. Somebody said that that's the seed ground of our greatest victories, or the carnage of our worst defeats. Because out of that rises greatness. Let me prove that to you. On Calvary's tree, the worst day ever happened. The King of Glory died. Those people who lived there felt the pain of losing him. That looked like the worst thing that could happen. Looked like the devil had won the victory. But what happened? Out of that carnage came forth the greatest event in all of eternity. It is that Jesus came back victorious over the grave. So his worst day became his greatest day. Well, what does that mean to you? That means because he lives, you live too. You have eternal life. We don't just get forgiven of sins. It's not enough to be forgiven, beloved. If you don't have eternal life, it doesn't do you any good to be forgiven. But when you're forgiven and you receive eternal life, that's the promise that when you, through this transition, when the end finally comes, you'll be there. When we gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river, when we gather at the river, I don't know the rest of the words. That's it. Okay, all right. Didn't know I could sing. And don't make any comments. Okay. So for us, the transition is this. We move. Boy, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. This is so good. How many of you in here were ever babies? Raise your hand. Some of you might have been bigger babies than others, but we were all babies at one time, right? But you didn't stay a baby, did you? No, you grew. Mom and daddy did whatever you needed to do to get you to grow, and you grew. So you can't think like a baby. You ever said this to your children when they got to be teenagers? Why don't you just grow up? You know, stop acting like a baby. Stop that whining. Man, if I had a dime for every time my daddy told me to stop that whining, I'd be a rich man. Stop that crying. You're not a baby anymore. Well, you're not a baby in Christ anymore. You've been born again, but we go past that. And in the reality of it all, you ready for this? We go from a baby in Christ, not to just a warrior, not to just a king and a queen, but we move to the ultimate place, the ultimate relationship that a human being can know. We go and we get married to the King of Glory. Let that sink in for a minute, folks. No longer little baby Christians. No longer single looking to find somebody to love, looking for love. We get married to the King. Now, you know, for the guys, that's kind of a hard image because we don't think of ourselves as a bride. If you think yourself a bride, I need to talk to you, all right? You know, we don't normally think that way, okay? But we're moving into the greatest relationship that can ever be experienced. What happens when people get married? They share everything. They share checkbooks. They share intimacy. They share secrets. Somebody asked Pat just a couple weeks ago a question. She said, this person who was talking to her said, does Morris tell you everything? And it was interesting as she was asked that question. And she said, Well, I don't know. I guess so. The answer to that is yes. You know, she knows where all the warts are. I mean, she knows all the good, bad, and ugly about me. You know, I shared it all with her because we have a relationship that I don't have with you guys. And she has a relationship with me that she didn't have with anyone else on the planet. That's something really, 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 really special. And that's what happens to us and God. We are children, in a sense, are children of God. But when the final reality, when this time as we know it, this place as we know it is over, and we move to the beginning of eternity, whatever that is, the relationship will be so much different than it is now. We'll know all the secrets. In fact, in the New Testament, it says that. It said, now we see through a glass darkly. Now we see with the eyes of children, if you will. But then, face to face, bride and groom, we will know even as we are known. What a way for things to change. I want to give you some imagery from the first book of the Bible. We're in the last book of the Bible. I want to go back to the first book of the Bible for just a minute. When Adam was created out of the dust of the earth, and God brought Eve, it said they were both naked and not ashamed. You know what that means? That they didn't have anything to hide. All the secrets were known. And that's exactly the way our relationship is with God. All the secrets are known. We'll know what we don't know now, that He alone knows about us. It'll be that kind of thing. We will own everything He owns. Listen, it says we will be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. No more raggedy trucks, Tommy. No more trucks you got to put a new starter in. No more bad tires. No more things to fix for Roe because his car needed a new fuel filter. You know, none of that. We will have what He has. What does He have? Well, I tell you what, I don't know. But He's got more than you got now, and He's willing to share it now, and He's going to share even more then. I don't know everything that's going to happen in eternity, because if I knew, I'd probably have a brain hemorrhage and lose my mind because I couldn't comprehend it all. But He is. It says this. It says, no man has thought of the things that God's prepared for him. Nobody had the idea of what God has prepared for him. God has things prepared for us that we don't even know. And when you hear people tell you everything we're going to have in eternity, or when people make movies about everything we have in eternity, or write books about everything we have in eternity, I'm not opposed to it, but don't believe everything you read and see and hear, because nobody hasn't entered into the mind of man or the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. He's got greater things for us than we ever could possibly imagine. But I'm telling you what, we're not broke right now. We're children of God. He's already given us what we need for life right here on this planet, and He's got greater things in store. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. My dad told me a story about a friend of his, and he was dating this girl, and he said he used to take her around. They lived down in New Orleans, and he said he would show all his beautiful things, and he would say, "All this is mine." And she, you know, and every place he went, he said, "All this is mine." And she thought all the stuff he was showing her was his. He was just rubbing his face saying, "All this is mine." He didn't have a thing. He was just lying. But I'm telling you, everything he has is ours now. We are heirs of Christ, joint heirs with Him, and we're not broke. We got a checkbook with no limits. We got a credit card that never runs out. We have, you know, you now see if you're in the know or not. We have the black Visa card. You know what the black Visa card is? You can't even get one of those unless you have a net worth of at least $5 million. You can't get one. But if you have a black Visa card, you can put anything on it you want to put on it. You can buy a $3 million yacht with that card, if you had one. I'm telling you, we got a white Visa card. It's pure and holy. It's better than a black Visa card. You know, in fact, it's not even white. It's gold. You know, it's platinum. It's diamonds and rubies and emeralds. And it's everything. And that's going to bring us to point number three when we talk about the new Jerusalem that God has prepared for us, a city that's absolutely indescribable. It says it's got stones and the rubies and diamonds and gold streets and all that kind of stuff. I got to tell you one last thing before I leave this. Oh, man, this is so good. Oh, my goodness. I can hardly say it. You remember when God brought Eve to Adam? And, he had a hissy fit. I mean, it's a whole happy days. You know, man, there's Eve. She's a good-looking gal, you know, and he's happy because he's been looking at animals all day. He got somebody who looks really good. He likes what he sees, you know. And, you know, I don't want to be crude, but she ain't got no clothes on, you know. It's a happy day. And he says, whoa, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh because she was taken out of me. You know, he had a little pride about him, all right. And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and the two shall become one. I'm telling you, that is a prophetic word of what happens to us in Christ. The two become one in Christ. My brother Morris, are you saying that we're gonna be like God? I didn't say it. That's what the Bible teaches. We have God's DNA. The two become one. Whatever God had planned for Adam and Eve, and they messed it up, God's going to redo it in a greater way in Christ. We are the beloved of the Lord. Isn't that good? That is good stuff. Man, I'm telling you, it's good stuff. All right, I'm going to try to get through this. Hang with me. The transition is from mansions. What was that? Hallelujah. You're only hoping I get through this. I got all the time in the world. If I don't finish this week, I'll finish next week. And I'll finish the week. Because I'm never going to get finished. As long as I got breath, I'm going to keep preaching. So just don't worry about it. How much space? Oh, CD. You're worried about them CDs. We need to get some bigger CDs. The transition is from mansions to a new magnificence. Isn't that good? I thought of that all by myself with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 21, verses 10 and 11. And he carried me away in the Spirit. This is that angel, you know, carrying him away. He carried me away in the Spirit. Now, don't miss that. In the Spirit, what is he telling you? Something spiritual, right? Something, your little antennas ought to go up. Uh-huh. He's trying to tell me something spiritual. He carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain, to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now that's got to be a sight to see. The holy city, Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God, coming down from heaven. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel. You remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration? You know? And took John and Peter up there. And it said that he was transformed before him. That is a picture of what's going to take place when all of this is finally revealed. Remember, we're in a transition, okay? I'm not diminishing where we are, but I'm telling you, they got greater things to come. Precious, it had brilliance like that of a precious stone, like that of a jasper, clear as crystal. That word jasper is really a poor translation of that word. Let me help you, girls. It's a diamond. The hardest substance, the most brilliant substance known to man. That's what the holy city's like. Can you imagine having a diamond? And I'm going to show you a little bit how big this city is. Imagine seeing a diamond that big. That'll blind your little eyes. You know? That'll make you whoo-hoo, bat your eyes a little bit. That's what it's like. The writer, through the Holy Spirit, is trying to tell us, this ain't New Orleans, folks. This is not Slidell. This is not New York City or Paris or London or Rome. This is God's creation. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Oh, it came out of heaven, from God. This is out of God. This is the magnificence of God himself being revealed. Verse 16, the city was laid out like a square, as long as it is wise. Why? He measured it. Why? That's wise too, you know, but it is wide. He measured the city with a rod, and it's a golden rod. I'm not reading this whole passage to you. You got to go read this for yourself, chapter 21, 22. But sit down when you're reading it, because, boy, you'll fall down on your face when you're reading it. It's so good. And he found it to be 12,000 strata in length. What in the world is a strata? Well, people smarter than me figured that out. They went back in the historical things. The estimate is that this is really, because look at this, it's as wide as it is high as it is long. It's a big cube. And they estimated to be in excess of 2.5 million miles in dimension. That's big. That's pretty big. Now, I'm not getting involved in that because I look at the spiritual application of it because I want you to see something. Let's go back to numbers for a minute. The number 12. Number 12 speaks of religion. Not dead religion, but good religion. We had 12 tribes, okay? We have 12 apostles, all right? So that's the number 12. Remember the number 1,000? We talked about that. It's the number 10, which means the whole enchilada. It's the basketball. It's everything that makes it complete. Raised to the number 3, which is deity. So it's 1,000 times 12. He's trying to tell us that based on everything that was done in the Old Testament, everything that was done in the New Testament, the complete thing, everything raised to God's divine level is this city. Woo! It's not just 2.5 million. You can't calculate the size. It's un papa ratio. You can't measure the quantity of it, and you can't measure the quality of it. Remember that teaching? Huh? Remember when we talked about that? This is the hum-papa ratio city. For those of you who aren't here, just go in the back and ask the guys to give you a copy of the CD of hum-papa ratio. Just say hum-pa or something, and they'll give you one. All right, I'll tell you where you can get one. It's on the internet. So this is not designed to tell us the dimensions. It is as much to tell us the characteristics of it. It's God himself being manifest to us. That's what it is. And it's a transition. You know, we think of mansions. Well, I can't wait to get my mansion in heaven. Man, it's going to have 28 rooms. It's going to have 14 bathrooms, you know. It's going to have a big yard, and I don't have to mow it because the grass doesn't grow that much anymore. You know, that's where my mansion's going to be. If you've got mansion mentality, honey, you've got the wrong mentality because we're going to have magnificence, not mansions. It's not about the house. It's about him. It's about being in him. It's about God in Christ and what all that's going to mean. It's going to... Come on now. You got to... Let me see them diamonds, girls. You know them little bitty tiny things you got on your hand? They're nothing. That would be chips that you just step over to get where you're going. It's magnificent. When we see the king, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Oh, I want to see him. The one who saved me by his grace. What a day that'll be. And I'm telling you what, if you're a born-again believer, you're going to see that day. In fact, we're seeing it. We're moving. I saw an astronaut on TV. They were interviewing an astronaut on TV. And he's up there in the space shuttle, in the space station. And he said, I'm moving at 17,426 miles an hour, whatever it was. It was over 17,000 miles an hour. And I think, that's pretty fast. Listen, we're moving faster than that. We're in the end times. We've been in the end times, and we're rushing towards the end. Now, when is that going to be? Is that going to be today? Oh, I want to see it. Wouldn't it be great if right now God just, it ended right now? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great that you move from time and place to eternity and you got to see it all right now and you got to see that city and you say, oh, that Pastor Morris almost got it right, but he missed it by a kajillion miles. It was brighter and bigger and more magnificent than that old one-armed Italian preacher even had any idea of. That's how great it's going to be. Now, man, I wish somebody would have preached this when I was brand new in the kingdom. I'd be a different person today. All right. Well, just, I need to call some of this stuff out. All right. Oh, the perfect cube. That's what I want to talk about. You see, we knew about this before, but we didn't know that we knew about it. Do you know where the other perfect cube is? It's the Holy of Holies. It's in the temple that Solomon built. Watch this. Oh, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 19 through 22. He prepared the inner sanctuary. Talking about that holy place where only the high priest could go once a year. All right, where he went in with the blood. He prepared the inner sanctuary within the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? That was the gold box, you know, that, remember anybody touched the gold box, what happened to them? They were over with, all right? So he brought in the Ark of the Covenant. They had a special way they had to carry it. They had poles, you know, and they had to go through. And they brought it in. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits, 20 wide, and 20 high. It's a cube. And the New Jerusalem is a cube. The holy city is a cube. What does that mean? I wouldn't get carried away about the measurements. That's the physical measurements of this thing. I mean, that's how big it was. And I'm not sure what a cubic is, but somewhere around a foot or so, I think. 9 inches, I believe. So 18 inches? Thank you. See how smart my wife is? She's been living with me. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. I mean, you're lucky to get gold leafing on something today. Everybody's all excited about the Dome of the Rock. It's gold leaf. That's solid gold. Solomon put pure gold. He also overlaid the altar of cedar. There was an altar there where the ark was put on. He overlaid that with gold. Solomon covered the inside of the temple, this giant room, with pure gold. Not this 14-carat stuff that you got. We're talking about 24-carat pure gold. You can't even buy that stuff. You know, the only way to get it is to go out in the Bering Sea on a gold hunt they got on TV, or up there in Alaska, wherever those guys are hunting gold to get 24-carat gold. And he extended gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary. Gold chains, imagine that. Which were overlaid with gold. And he overlaid the whole interior with gold. He also overlaid with gold the altar that belongs in the inner sanctuary. It was solid gold on the inside. That's what it was like in the Holy of Holies. It's a picture of things to come. The most valuable thing that we can deal with as far as metal is gold, right? Well, some might argue platinum, but it's a form of gold, so I'm not a chemist, so I'm not going to get into that. But to the average person of the world, gold. I mean, people go to war for gold, they heavens knows they sell it on TV all the time. Do you have your gold coins in case the economy goes down? Make sure you got your gold coins. Now, so that's what it is. That's the picture. I have difficulty because I don't have the vocabulary, so I'm really kind of going off the cuff on a lot of this stuff. It's so much greater than we've ever been told. We've had a measly, poor little image of what's ahead of us. And it's more than streets of gold. And it's more than just a river of life. It's beyond that. Y'all remember, who was that beautiful woman married to Prince? Grace Kelly. Thank you. How could I forget her name? Grace Kelly, great movie star, very rich woman. But when she married Prince Rainier, I believe his name was, and she moved over to that part of the world, she moved from a Hollywood house to a real mansion. And she was known as the queen. And she, it was a different reality for her. Because she married him. She didn't do a thing to earn it. All she was just had the good fortune to be born beautiful. And this guy fell in love with her and took her there as his wife and changed her life. And everybody here was really been upset about it because she was a great movie actress and we'd like to see her. She never made another movie, so far as I know. That's what's happening to you. Somebody who lives in a place you can't imagine, looking over here and says, I want you, and 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 I want you. And I want you so bad that I'll pay any price. I'll do anything necessary in all of creation in order to have you for myself. And I'm not just going to keep you in a box. I'm going to put you on exhibit for all of creation to see that they might know that I love you that much. That's the promises of God for you and me. We see by faith today what we will see by sight tomorrow. And I can't wait for it to happen. In the meantime, I'm doing all right. I'm a happy guy. You know, I kick the devil whenever I get a chance. And I've learned I can chain him up, so I just chain him up, you know. And I'm having fun with you guys. And I'm having fun with the Word of God. I'm having fun with my wife and my grandbaby. I'm having fun being alive. And I'm just having fun. You know, and if it quits being fun, I'm going to quit. As long as I'm having fun, I'm going to keep on keeping on, all right? This stuff encourages me. Some pinhead somewhere, God help him, took this beautiful book, the book of Revelation, it's in this Bible that I carry around, and they got us scared to death. Well, I don't want to read that book because it scares me because they got you know, all kinds of plagues and all kinds of ugly stuff. And, you know, I'm scared to read that book. I'd have nightmares if I read it. We've been sold a lie. It's the most beautiful book in the Bible. It's the only book in the Bible that says you will be blessed if you read it. You'll be blessed if you hear it. And you'll be blessed if you follow what it says. That's the only book in the Bible that's for you. You want to get blessed today? You want to start having a change in your life? Just go read the book of Revelation. Well, I might not understand it. Oh, you ask the Holy Spirit, it'll help you. I didn't understand it either. How many times do I preach out of the book of Revelation? Two? One? Maybe? And I steered away from it because I didn't really care for it very much. I didn't really understand it. But when I taught you guys and we learned together about what real grace is, it changed the way I think about things. And when it changed the way I thought, I just had a brain thought. I said, why don't we go into the book of Revelation and look at it from a grace perspective? And that's what I've done. And that's what I'm bringing to you. And it's transformed the way I understand this book. And it's made a difference in my life. And some of you told me it's made a difference in your life. Change who we are. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? Amen. Y'all had enough of today? I'm full. I feel like a chipmunk who got all the little acorns in his little jaw here. No, I am full.
Said the book of Revelation, people always read it as the revelation of the end time. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Yeah, whew, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came to church today?
Amen.
Man, I'm glad I came to church. I'm glad I got to hear me preach. Man, I might go back and listen to it later and get more charged up. I appreciate y'all being here this morning, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will call. I know for most of us, this is all kind of new thinking, you know, but I believe that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you need to know in order to have a rich, full life right here today, with a great hope of greater things to come. It's great, all these things. Some of the stuff I'm telling you about today, it's future, but it's also today. And you can live in victory today, okay? Yes, sir. I don't know, Jim. I have no clue. I just knew I was finished. I was going to try to finish two, and I might have three. But it'll be in the book of Revelation somewhere. I might go to chapter 22. I don't know. I just really don't know. Isn't it nice to have a pastor that doesn't know what he's going to do? Oh, boy. But I guarantee you, if it's anything like the last stuff the Lord's been showing, it's going to be good, all right? So, I've got some other thoughts about this that I might use to wrap up, but we'll see how that goes. Father in heaven, how great thou art. Even as the song we sang this morning with our worship team, how great you are. Father, I know that the feeble words of an English language will never comprehend or explain or describe who you are. You're greater than our thoughts. But you have given us through the Holy Spirit revelation. Even that passage of scripture I quoted earlier, Father, it says that man hadn't thought about it, but it says that you have revealed them unto us. So, Father, let the revelation of these things change our lives for the better. Let us walk out of this building, Father, just walking a little higher and feeling a little stronger and being a little bit more encouraged about who we are and your plans for us. Father, bless the day. Watch over us. Keep us safe. Give Becky and Ro a safe journey to Tennessee to visit her dad who's sick. And Father, be with our brothers and sisters who aren't here. I know some of them told me they had to leave and had some other agendas today. Ask you to bless them. Father, if you so tarry another week, gather us back together in this room next week where we can study some more and learn more about you. You are everything to us, and we thank you, Father. I proclaim your blessings over these folks, that they'll be blessed wherever they go. They'll be blessed in their houses. They'll be blessed outside their houses. They'll be blessed in their cars. They'll be blessed when they're walking. They'll be blessed on the job. They'll be blessed in the grocery. They'll be blessed in their beds. They'll be blessed when they walk. They will be blessed wherever they go because you bless them. I proclaim these things as so. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen.